Welcome to episode 27 of After the Breach podcast, coming to you from Friday Harbor, San Juan Island, Washington. We are your hosts, Jeff and Sarah. We've been out on the water quite a bit with Maya's Legacy whale watching and are bringing you this episode as an update to the latest sightings. It seemed like we were just really getting started with our spring sightings that we mentioned in the last episode. And
they've kind of just ramped up like exponentially since then.
Exactly. Like immediately after, like within a day or two, I was like, oh, we need to record another podcast. Cause
I think it was that night. You were like, should we re-record or should we just do another episode? And I was like, let's just give it a couple days and do another episode.
Yeah. And it's been incredible. I mean, we had March was great. We had a lot of whales in March, but we also had some gaps in there of days, stretches of days where we didn't see whales. And all of a sudden, since our last episode, it's just been raining whales.
Wait, literally.
Yeah, it's been incredible. It started actually the day after we recorded. We found the T-18s and the T-49As together in Spiden Channel, and it was all the T-49As, T-49A1 and A2, 49A's oldest boys were with the family. They're quite often off either together or 49A2 is often with his uncle.
Yeah, was that your first sighting of T-49A2 since he'd been a lake whale?
That's right. I think it was, and I completely forgot to tell that story when we were out on the boat to our guests. But yeah, he was the one, if you remember, and there's an episode that we have on it about the rescue with him. And was it T-51?
Yep, T-51 in Barnes Lake.
In Barnes Lake up in Alaska. And Jared Towers helped along with a team of people. But if you want to know more about that, there's one of our past episodes from the fall about that. But yeah, that was my first sighting of 49A2 since then. And we found them in Spiden Channel. We were going to look for sea lions, and so were they.
And by we, he doesn't mean him and I. I was off the water this day.
Of course you were. but it was a pretty epic sea lion hunt. It was the fastest sea lion hunt I had ever seen. It was literally 5 minutes. And typically those last for, I would say on average, over an hour. And this one was literally 5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a couple different posts from people. I think Mark posted and was like, quickest sea lion hunt I've ever seen. And
yeah, it was amazing. Saying something. And it started in a typical sea lion hunt fashion where they went and there was a big group of sea lions and they were in the water and rafted up together and swimming along the shoreline. And they must have separated one really quickly. And I think my guess is they just took him down because typically you'll see the sea lion spend a lot of time at the surface,
right?
And you'll see the whales coming in and going out or taking turns. And we saw the sea lion in the middle of a group of whales, and we never saw him again.
Wow. And it was a big one, is what I've heard.
Yes.
And it seemed like must have been a big one because they were eating all day.
Yeah, all day. They were there the entire day, prey sharing, except for, I believe it was 49A2 and T-19C were off on their own. April said they were being goobers. The two of them were about a half a mile away, just socializing the two of them the entire time. So that was pretty funny. But everybody else was in on the hunt and the prey sharing.
And it sounds like you guys had some pretty cool acrobatics from some of the big boys.
Yeah, I got a great Galliano breach, T-19B.
Yeah, I did see that.
And I'll post that in the show notes. And yeah, they were pretty acrobatic. And it was one of those days, very common in the spring and the fall, just epic, epic lighting.
Nice.
Yeah, I felt bad that you weren't there. I felt like you should have been there.
Did you feel bad in the moment or afterwards when you realized that
I wasn't there? I always like think about like, oh, Sarah's going to kill us.
I wouldn't say I would kill you.
Well, I'm going to disagree with that because you did send me a text on another day when you were out on the water.
I didn't say I would kill you, though.
No, you said I was dead to you.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
We went down to Admiralty Inlet and saw a big group of whales. They were not all grouped up by the time we got there, but there were 20 plus whales in that were down there.
Mm-hmm.
We did see a big group as we were leaving. We saw a big group on the other side of the channel. We got some views of 65As and the 99s were together. Uh-huh. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
But we spent the majority of our time, well, we were going down to the big group, and we ended up finding the 124Ds on our way.
I saw that. I was stalking you on the app.
Yes. And they had been, for weeks, they had been with the 99s.
Right.
But they were just on their own. And it was funny because they were just doing circles in this one area. They must have gotten out ahead of everybody else.
They were just waiting for everyone to catch up.
They were. We spent a little bit of time with them, and then we went south to try and catch up with the bigger group that was coming north. And we ended up with, and this is where Sarah said that I was dead to her, because we ended up with her favorite group, if you remember.
Not anymore.
Last episode, the 124As.
They have bypassed me twice now in the night.
But the big, big news is that after we finish this recording, I will be taking, we don't have a tour today, but I will be going down to the boat with a few others and Sarah to take her out to see the 124As, who right now are coming up San Juan Channel.
It sounds like they just turned, actually.
Oh, don't tell me that.
But no takes backsies.
I will get you out to see your favorite family today.
Well, that's great. And I really appreciate that, Jeff. And I'm really just kidding when I said that you're dead to me, obviously. You know how it goes. You know the FOMO.
I'm okay with that. I was hoping you were going to say you were kidding when you said that they turned.
Well, maybe they'll turn back around. Maybe they're just milling a bit.
It is ironic that today's one of those very rare early April days where we don't have a tour because there are whales everywhere right now.
Of course there are. So 124As, we talked about them in the Meet the Matcha line last episode. They do have this new calf in there, and we don't even really know, right? So 124A1 was seen with a calf up north. She was seen with this calf in tow here in the San Juan Islands and then down in Puget Sound. But now, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you guys got on scene, you had the 124As, but no A1.
No A1, and a tiny, tiny, tiny little calf.
With 124A4.
Correct.
And we don't know if it's the same calf. It could be a different calf, right? 124A1 could be off with or without a calf if it, you know, hopefully it's still alive. We always hope that. But we don't know just because we haven't seen her. So this could be the same calf, could be a different calf. You know, 124A4 is of an age and has had enough time since her last kiddo to have a new one.
Let me ask you a question. Are we positive that that calf, that 124A1, that she had a calf, that it was hers?
I don't think we know anything for sure.
I mean, could she have possibly just been babysitting?
Possibly, but she was with it quite a bit. I think that's why they assumed that it was her calf and made that call. And so we won't really know for sure until we see like really good eye patch shots of the calf to compare to the calf that was with 124A1, whether it's the same or a different calf, and we'll leave that to, you know, the researchers. But
yeah, I think April was sending her photos mystery. In to Jared.
Yeah, I know he's had kind of poor reception with where he's been lately. But
yeah, we'll get to that. It actually started, and I think this is what happened the day after we recorded. We're bouncing around a little bit here, but
sorry.
We get excited. We do. And the day after we recorded the podcast, we found whales coming up Harrow Strait. I was out of Snug Harbor, and you were out of Friday Harbor.
Yeah.
And I love when this happens, because this has happened several times where we find whales and they're in the distance. We can see the exhales. We see some dorsal fins, and we had three whales. And we were coming up, and April went out on the bow and was taking some photos and looking to get some IDs. And this has happened several times over the last few years. And she turns around wide-eyed and yells, "Chainsaw!" And it's always cool to get the first sighting of the year of Chainsaw.
And I think we just talked about him like the day before, about how he was due.
Yeah.
Literally any day.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a great find. And I was highly appreciative of that, because we were going towards another group that was kind of out in the Strait of Juan de Fuca. Conditions weren't so great. I had some motion sensitive folks on board. And when you made that call that they were up Harrow, I was stoked, because I could turn the boat, put the weather at our stern and you know, get up there to an amazing group of whales.
And for those of you who are not familiar with Chainsaw, it's T-63, and he is iconic. He's a celebrity whale. We typically will see him in the spring, but not every year. I think it was not until my third or fourth season here when I first got to see him in person.
Yeah, he's usually around, but whether we like it, timing works up to see him.
Right. And then he travels with his mom, T-65. So if you've heard us talk about the T-65As, that T-65A is Chainsaw's sister. Mm-hmm. And we get family reunions in the spring where T-65 will come down with her son, and we will see them get together with the T-65As and the T-65Bs. And a couple of days on the water, sometime in the spring, we'll see the whole family reunion, which is always very cool. But what was really neat about this day was it wasn't just Chainsaw and his mom, but Chainsaw's nephew, T-65A5 Indy, who we've talked about quite a bit throughout different... the saga of T-65A5 continues. And it was really sweet to see the three of them together. It was just them. And really cool to see Indy with his uncle and his grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really nice. Though, when I was on scene, he was with Grandma, and Chainsaw was a little bit separate, and I didn't really get a great look at them. But he looks like he's getting big.
Yeah, he's definitely, that's what happens when you get into all kinds of trouble. And
that's true.
And he's a social butterfly. It's hard to believe he's 10. And I think he first dispersed when he was 4. Mm-hmm. He since we saw him, he has gotten back with his mom and siblings. He was in the group that was coming up Admiralty. When the 65As and the 99s were together, 65A5 was with the 65As.
Oh, nice.
So it was very, very, very sweet that he was there. And when we saw him with his grandmother and Chainsaw, we left for a while and went and looked at some sea lions and other wildlife. And we came back for a last look on our way home. And it was really cute. T-65 was off on her own. And Indy and Chainsaw were totally like rolling all over each other. It was very cute.
Oh, that is cute.
Yeah. And so, that was special. And we got to see him again, 63, Chainsaw.
Yeah, just yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
And was it yesterday?
It was 2 days ago.
Sure, yep.
Yeah, it was 2 days ago.
Time flies. I can't keep track of the days.
And they were, it was neat. We were with the 49As, and it wasn't all the 49As. Since we had seen them last week, 49A1 and A2 have gone off together, and they were seen yesterday about 50 miles away from the rest of the family.
But they were there 2 days
ago. Yeah. So yesterday, they were there 2 days ago. Yesterday, they were not there when we saw the 49ers.
We're skipping around a bit.
Yeah, we are. Like I said, we're jumping around, but we're excited. Yes, so let's get back to 2 days ago. All the 49As were there. 49A1 and A2 were kind of off on their own, socializing, rolling all over each other, and then since dispersed 50 miles away.
And to set the stage, this was another day that I was off the water.
Of course.
But I didn't get out on the water.
I'm noticing a pattern here.
Yeah, maybe you should just schedule me never on the water.
And had a great trip with the 49As. They were being really social all together, and then some other whales were found.
Yeah.
And that was 63 and 65.
Yep. So I texted you and I was like, can I take the boat out?
Of course.
And you said, yes, of course. You're very gracious.
I said, you never have to ask.
But I always will.
Let me know.
And I wanted to figure out, because we had two groups. We knew that T-63 and T-65 were, again, coming up Harrow. And then there was another group that at the moment that I texted you had not been ID'd yet. But I think you had heard, because you texted me back.
Yes.
And you said, I think it's the 65Bs.
Yes. And like I said, reigning whales. We had three different groups, at least. Well, in that area, there were other groups further away, but we had three groups in a fair, like within a 10-mile radius of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah. And so we had to just kind of visualize, we had the 49As.
Who you were with in Boundary.
In Boundary Pass. And then, like, 5 to 10 miles behind them going. So the 49As were going east in Boundary Pass. 63 and 65 were going north
in Harrow
in
Strait.
Harrow Strait. And then there was another group that was going east in Spiden Channel that turned out to be the 65Bs.
We'll put a map up too, but you can also, you know, look at the maps on your phone or tablet, but we'll try to put a map up too to kind of illustrate where all these places are.
I've mentioned this great source for maps before.
Yes, it's, you do Google love maps. This line.
we'll post a link. So we had these three groups, and everyone was wondering, you know, are they going to get together? And all of a sudden, 65 and 63, Mom and Chainsaw, made a hard right turn into Boundary Pass.
Very hard. So we had been with them. I had been with them, and they had been cruising like 5 knots. Not fast, but not slow.
Kind of typical whale speed.
Yeah. And before we'd been there, they'd been going a little bit faster than that, like 7 knots or whatever.
And at this time, I was with the 49As,
right,
who were starting to get very percussive, lots of tail slapping.
Yeah. And it was a pretty like standard travel kind of behavior from them. They were doing their, you know, 3-minute dives up for several breaths and down again and just kind of continuing in the straight line on the far side of Harrow, like not behind the islands, but like on the far side of the main channel.
But they must have heard the 49As.
They must have, because as soon as they like hit turn point and had that acoustic corridor of boundary, hard right hand,
hard
you
right.
You got in line, and then we were all looking for them, and like 5 minutes had gone by, and I was like, okay, they should have been up by now. And then we looked over, you know, on the way that you had come in from, and they were way out there.
And they were at that point now going almost 10 knots.
Yeah.
Directly, like intercept course towards the 49As. Who were probably at that point 3 to 4 miles up ahead of them.
Yeah. Yeah. 4, 5 miles, I think. Yeah. Like probably 4.5 miles at that point. And then we were with them for a little ways, and they kept heading towards the 49As. And I was eventually like, okay, is this really going to happen or what? You broke off and went to the 65.
So yeah, we were due back. We were running late, which is
shocking
for me. But on the way home, the 65Bs were right in our path. And so
you have to stop if there are whales.
Got to stop. Haven't seen the 65Bs since last year. So we stopped to get a quick look at the 65Bs. They had just rounded Greenpoint at Spiden Island. So they were now in an acoustic corridor with 49As as well. And they made a hard left turn to go up to the 49As as we got just a few minutes viewing of them. And then we got back to the harbor, and Sarah calls me on the phone and says,
you might want to come back out here, Jeff.
Yeah. And so they all got together. And I wonder if like the 49As are kind of the glue of the family reunions of like, hey, well, I'm gonna get you guys all back together.
It was, yeah, because I mean 63 and 65 passed Spiden Channel while the 65Bs were there. So they were within earshot of each other,
right,
and made no motion whatsoever to like go towards them. And so you left scene with the 65Bs, kind of gave me like a heads up of where they were. And then I had left 63 and 65 and went to the 49As just because I haven't seen the 49As and I hadn't seen 49A2 since the lake incident. And I would, you know, wanted to see Jude. And then it was like we were with the 49As. They were kind of rolling around like they had been, it sounds like, while you were there. And then you just started seeing the blows from like 63 and 65 coming towards us. And they were getting closer and closer. And then you could see like a couple breaches from the 65Bs and the exhalations as they're getting closer and closer. And I was like, yeah, Jeff needs to get back out here.
I mean, I knew that was going to happen because when we left, looking at my chart and seeing where all the boats were, mm-hmm, you could see where the 49As were,
sure,
because there were some boats with them. I could see where you were when you were with 63 and 65, and you were pointing directly at the 49As. And then I'm with the 65Bs who are also pointed at the 49As, and it's like they're obviously going to meet up.
And we had some pretty crazy vocals too, and I don't know if you had a chance to drop the hydro, but
We did not. I did, but we did not have vocals when I was there.
Yeah, I think once they got together, it was like, well, now we don't need to call to each other. You know, we're right here. But it was interesting because once they got together, it didn't last very long. Like the 49As broke off pretty quickly.
That's why I'm saying, like, were they the glue? Were they the ones who, because we don't know how these meetups, like, are they pre-planned? How does this all work? And it's almost like, hey, for this meetup, the 49As are going to be the committee that gets us back together. Because as soon as
they're the family counselors of the,
because we did come back out because you were there and they were all together. By the time I got out there, like right when I got out there, the 49As split.
Sure.
And that's when the 49As and then 49A1 and A2 left in a different direction. And the rest of the 49As went in another direction. And it was very cool because they had been all kind of mixed up, but then we had six whales surfacing all together, and it was T65, her daughter 65B, her three kids, and 65B's brother Chainsaw.
Yeah,
and they were in a really tight group. It was really, really cute.
Yeah, and what was really interesting, like kind of right before you got on scene, right before this whole like split kind of happened, so the both. You know, both families were together with the exception of Noah and Jude. So T49A1 and T49A2 had split off and gone to the south with kind of like Waldron Island as the backdrop. And they started going off for, you know, like 3 or 4 minutes. Noah breached 5, 6, 7 times.
Wow.
Jude was cartwheeling.
Noah's a big whale.
He's huge. And after that was like when we kind of started to see this distinct split, and the rest of the 49As were kind of in between the 65 group and then the two 49A boys, and they kind of moved over towards the 63-65 group, went down, and then went back and over to the south again, and that's when we kind of left. But
so this just hit me, the 49As might be becoming my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, she's got what, four boys?
Four boys, I think,
one girl and one unknown.
Yeah, I've seen like some not 100% confirming video/ distant photos, and I think Charlie's a boy, but I'll, you know, wait to see.
Wow,
to
so that'll be five boys and one girl.
She's a boy mom.
Yeah, I mean, they're all those boys are gonna be huge.
Can you imagine being the one girl with that?
Well, and Charlie, the underbite, just gets cuter and cuter.
Yeah.
And we'll post some photos. I think I got a good photo of that yesterday. But I think they might be becoming my favorites.
They're a good family.
They're replacing the 37As.
Ooh, them's fighting words. On my list.
haven't seen or heard anything. The 34s and 37s, haven't seen them yet this year. They're usually down here by now.
We haven't seen them. So they were up by Hornby and Denham Island during the herring run. I did see photos of them up there. Gary had them. They haven't shown up down here. So I think they're probably up in Alaska, would be my guess.
Yeah, they'll be down here at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And we did get a short visit from the 137s. We hadn't seen them in a while, but they came out and showed up right outside of Friday Harbor, and right at the point. We're hunting. I think they got a sea lion there, and right out in front of the harbor. So we got to get out with them for a little bit. Who else has been around?
Because that was the day that I was down south with the T-30Bs and the 117Bs.
Yes.
And I had a heck of a time reacquiring those whales. And then Jason, Monica's husband, with his amazing eyes, spotted them from like 2.5 miles away, just saw a fin going down and finally saved the day. So that was a great save, Jason. And we had, the T-30Bs, so with her new calf, and then the T-117Bs, which is T-117B, and then her approximately year-old calf, T-117B1.
And that's who we had earlier this spring, well, late winter, hunting a stellar sea lion that was...
with the 18s.
Right, with the 18s, and that was the sea lion that was eyeing our boat to get in.
Yeah.
So we did talk about that on one of our recent episodes. So yeah, they've been around a bit. We've had a lot of whales around.
We have.
This is turning into an epic spring. So if you're thinking about coming out here to come out with us, please do. It's been amazing on the water.
Yeah. And if you have Instagram or Facebook, check out the Orca Behavior Institute site, because they just posted their March sightings map that shows like all the sightings of the different, you know, species that have been around and ecotypes.
And I know it's only April 5th, but April is feeling like it's going to be a really good whale month.
I'm knocking on wood right now, but yes, me too.
Well, and it should be good all the way, you know, all the way through. And we did see, at least I saw in person, our first humpback for the year yesterday.
Oh.
And it was, I think it was the same humpback that was on the west side of San Juan Island.
Stumped us all.
Yeah, it was a small humpback, very low profile.
Yes.
But yesterday it was still low profile, but was showing a little bit more, and we did get a fluke shot.
Oh, nice.
And we confirmed it's a 2022 calf.
Oh, cool. So 2-year-old.
2-year-old, but really small for two.
Yeah.
Like it was so small that like it looked like a new calf, but it can't be a new calf without, I mean, it could be, but it turned out not to be. But size wise, it looks like a small calf especially for a 2-year-old.
So just in case you think that like we go out and find whales wherever we look easily, it's not the case. Sometimes we don't see whales even when they're right there.
But the sighting network is really good, and it's hard to find them even when you're looking for them.
So the other day that Jeff and I were both out, we had this humpback whale reported off the west side of San Juan Island. A friend of ours who's been on the show, Davin, was on shore, was seeing this humpback whale.
And nobody had found any other whales.
There were no other whales sighted in the area, so we were there. Quarter of a mile offshore, you know, looking for this humpback whale, and he would post every time it surfaced, and
no one saw it.
No one saw it.
Except for people on shore.
Yeah, and Ellie saw it once. I never saw it.
But it was tough. It was one breath and then down for 10 minutes.
Yeah. So 40 minutes, I gave up.
Yeah.
I think Trevor on Triton spent an hour. Like, good for him. Right. I was just
and
like,
never saw
I have to, like, go see sea lions or something.
Well, it's hard. When it's a low-profile whale that's taking one breath and going down for 10 minutes, it's not an easy thing to see.
But also a good reminder, too, like, one, whales aren't easy to find, even if you know what to look for and you're looking for them. And if you're out on the water in your own boat and you see whale-watching boats or you see the whale warning flag, just a great reminder in the early spring, be whale-wise. If you see that flag, slow down. There's probably whales in the area if a whale-watching boat is flying it. 7 knots or less, just be, you know, respectful. We're all sharing the waters. It's their home. We're visitors there. And, you know, we just try to be respectful. And the whale watching boats flying that flag are, you know what they're doing and how to operate around whales. So mimic them or kind of go wide around them is great.
So we should probably start wrapping this up so that we can get you out to see your favorite family, 124As, who are also with T87, the oldest independent male in the population.
Yes, he's awesome.
Yes, and so we'll have to post some photos in the show notes from our encounter that will happen in about an hour.
Yep, fingers crossed.
And let us know if you're enjoying our latest sightings episodes. Really curious. Would love to hear some feedback on how you're enjoying the updates of what whales are around, what they're doing, what's going on in the in the soap opera of the Biggs Killer Whales.
And I think before we sign off, we were going to do a little update on T109A3A. Obviously, Jeff and I are not up there. We're not involved in this very complicated endeavor to get T109A3A out of this tidal lagoon up on the west coast of Vancouver Island. But the latest that I've heard, and correct me, Jeff, if I'm wrong, if you've heard something else, is that a plan has been approved to move her out of the tidal lagoon into a net pen in the open waters, and waiting and hoping her family comes by so they can reunite them. But I think it's a female, has not left the lagoon yet of her own volition. She appears to be in pretty robust body condition still, but has some skin issues that are cropping up, which is not uncommon with that big river kind of tidal or river fresh outlet water. Right there. So the fresh water doesn't really do well for their skin. So
and And also, yeah, they're going to put her in a net pen on the west coast of Vancouver Island. And her family has been seen recently also on the west coast of Vancouver Island. Right. Not nearby, but within, I think, 100 or 150 kilometers. Mm-hmm. And it's an area where they
frequent.
So I'm really optimistic.
Yeah, we're keeping our fingers crossed.
She'll be reunited with her grandmother.
I highly recommend following Bay Cetology for updates on that. Jared is doing an amazing job. Definitely give them a look and follow there. And they'll keep you updated with the latest on what's going on with T109A3A.
And we'll have an upcoming episode as well, talking about, if you may have heard about the recommendation for creating new species of killer whales. So right now, all killer whales around the world are classified as one species, even though there's different populations or ecotypes.
Or Cynus orca.
Yes. And the two that we see the most frequently here, the southern residents and the Biggs killer whales, are going to be... It's recommended that they be classified no longer in that same species with all of the others. They will be the first of the populations to be broken out. One species will be the southern residents and northern residents.
I think it's actually going to be like Alaskan residents as well. Okay. I think it's going to be like the North Pacific resident fishy
killer whales.
Misleading, because there's so many different genetic differences between them. But yes, I think it's going to be
And then the Biggs killer whales mm-hmm. will be another separate species, neither of which will be Cynus orca.
Yep.
So we will have no more orcas.
The proposed names, and there's a naming system. So yeah, scientific nomenclature, it's all kind of very interesting, and there's a great talk on it. I can link it in the show notes, but the resident type would be Cynus ater, and then the Biggs killer whales would be Cynus rectipinnis, which is straight fin.
Right, and so no more orcas.
Or gloomy, and ater, I think, means gloomy.
So no more Cynus orca in our waters.
No orca.
But we'll still have Cynuses.
We will.
And we're going to try and get somebody on our next episode who was involved in the publication of that paper and talk more in more depth about the recommendation to classify them as different species. And I think over time, as more data is collected on different populations, more and more populations will get classified as separate species.
Absolutely.
And maybe the Bremer Bay orcas are next.
Or type D.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. It will be interesting to follow over a long period of time.
Yeah, it will be.
But I think eventually, and you know, this may outlive us, eventually we will have all these different species.
Sure.
So stay tuned for that. Let us know if you're enjoying these episodes, especially the latest sightings. Give us some feedback.
Jeff's really itching for feedback.
I'm itching for feedback. I'm just curious how people are enjoying hearing us talk about families and who's with who.
I enjoy talking about it.
We do. we live it. And so would love some feedback.
We do have our photography workshop in August, the 24th and 25th. Still have some seats left on that, just a few. So if you're interested in signing up, shoot us an email. You can drop us a message on Instagram. I'm a little slow to respond on Instagram, I'm not going to lie. So probably email's best, but definitely get a hold of us. And if you have any questions you'd like us to answer on the show, or Matriline's you'd like to see us do for Meet the Matriline, I know we did not do that this time, but we will pick that up again on a future episode very soon. Just let us know. We'd love to kind of include your suggestions in the show. And thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, and feel free to share this with your friends, share it on social media, and definitely, no matter what you do, stay safe out there.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of After the Breach podcast. If you've enjoyed it and want to help us out, please share this with your friends, family, and any other whale-loving folks you can think of. We would also love to hear your feedback, so please leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have topics you're interested in and would like to hear on the show, please send us an email. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can find us on Instagram as @AfterTheBreach and on Facebook as After the Breach Podcast. And if you'd like to go whale watching with us, then come on up to San Juan Island, Washington State. We run tours with Maya's Legacy Whale Watching, departing just steps away from the ferry landing in beautiful downtown Friday Harbor. It's a great destination for a day trip or multiple days and offers some of the best whale and wildlife viewing in the world. We would love to take you out on the water to see the amazing whales we talk about on our podcast. You can book a tour through the company website at www.sjiwhalewatch.com and make sure to mention you're a podcast listener when you book. Thanks again for listening, and remember, stay safe out there.